This is Rick Watson, and you are watching the first weekend edition of the Watson Weekly.
Hi, it's Jessica Lisewski. So glad to be here. Rick, we've got a new show format we're busting out. New year, new show. Can you walk us through what's happening?
Yeah, we have had a number of different formats on the Watson Weekend here over the last couple of years now. It's hard to believe that we're almost up to 100 episodes.
I know. Go us.
Exactly. Go us. we've done interviews here. We've done game shows. We've done news. And it just always felt to me like the pulse of the show was really the news and our fun takes and banter about what's going on with this world we call e-commerce.
That's right. Yeah. And I think when we looked at what people responded to the most, it was the news. It was our take on what was happening in the industry, going a little bit deeper in some cases on some stories to give you our take where you can't get anywhere else.
No.
Because listen, it's just the dream team right here. So we can break it down. And I think getting back to this format will be really exciting. Bear with us as we work through the kinks.
On today's show, we have three stories in our headline hangover and one main story. First up in the headline hangover is Amazon calls its Saks investment worthless. Next, Gap hires a chief entertainment officer, maybe not the CEO you were thinking of. Why $63 billion worth of advertising is wasted each year. And finally, our big story today, OpenAI testing ads.
Which they were never going to do, guys.
Exactly.
Never gonna do.
First up, our story is Amazon calls its Saks investment worthless. Saks has been dying a slow death the last couple of years since they tried their financial engineering project.
RIP,
pour out some liquor. And it seems like they waited till like the day after NRF to announce their bankruptcy.
The big bomb finally dropped like a lead balloon. And yeah, I think they did not want that to be the narrative circulating the show. But really, the story here is the retail marriage that went from power couple to divorce court in record time. If you go back to 2025, we get in our DeLorean, go back in that time machine to 2024. Saks finally is working through how they're going to buy their rival, Neiman Marcus, $2.7 billion to create this luxury titan we now know as Saks Global. But what really showed up was the other party on the guest list, Amazon, who jumped in with this $475 million investment because they had everything except that luxury market, right, Rick? Like, they didn't really have their foothold yet. They tried. They bought ShopBop. Yeah. They tried this Amazon luxury store. They could not get the big brands. And so they wanted a piece of that. It all fell apart, right?
That's right. Yeah. There have been lots of rumors and evidence about Saks not paying its vendors on time.
Yeah.
So that, you know, like when there's smoke, there's fire there.
Yeah.
If vendors aren't getting paid, then they have cash flow issues. If they have cash flow issues, then we kind of know what happens next. This was all sadly a little bit predictable back. If you go back 2 or 3 years, Saks really split into two entities. One is, as you referenced, Saks Global, and then they separated out .com, and they made sort of like one a customer of the other, but from a financial and valuation point of view, they saw e-commerce is worth, it's the pandemic, e-commerce is worth so much money. We're all going to be billionaires like the pets.com investors. Not so much the strategy. I think kind of forgot the customer is where I land on this one.
Yeah, for sure. So with this, going back to this Amazon infusion, right, of $475 million, they got a guaranteed $900 million in referral fees over 8 years. But this bankruptcy essentially blows it all up, right, Rick? And Amazon's like Eminem style, time to pay the Pied Piper.
Exactly. Amazon has basically said our investment that we put into Saks as part of this partnership, and you mentioned Amazon Luxury, which two words that should never be in the same sentence. They're saying our investment is worthless, which is fine. So is the Fire Phone.
Yes, that's a true story. But now, like, the lawyers are getting involved.
It's gone
real sideways, like, your parents getting divorced and they're like fighting over who gets you know, the airline miles and the hotel points. They're basically accusing Saks of malpractice from a financial and a retail perspective, saying they failed to meet every budget they set, poor leadership. Now this like Crown Jewel, which is their store on Fifth Avenue, is collateral. And Amazon's like, time, that was supposed to be the collateral that protected our initial investment. This can't now protect the rest of, you know, your bankruptcy filings. And so, you know, where do you think this all lands?
Yeah, I think this lands at a messy divorce. Their new investor will have to come in and rescue them. Saks is kind of like too big to fail in the retail world. Yeah. There are only so many places vendors can sell their wares. So it's going to be reformed just like, you know, all those TV dinners that end up in your microwave.
Sure thing. Yeah. So we'll see how this breaks down, but for sure it's getting spicy. And unfortunately, the kids, Chanel, Versace, Louis Vuitton, are all caught in the middle with like nowhere else to go.
Exactly. Our next story up is Gap announces another CEO, but not the one you're thinking of. Chief Entertainment Officer Pam Kaufman is coming in the mix. She was a big heavy hitter at Paramount. And the question for me I have for you, Jess, is why does a jean company ostensibly need an entertainment executive?
It's a really great question. I've been asking myself this since this announcement dropped. You know that Gap has, I guess, played with the studio experience in their commercials. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about it last year, the whole like Cat's Eye milkshake, the whole, experience there. It's like one of my pride and joy moments in the headline hangover wins. But, you know, I think that they really are trying to infuse this presence across film and music and come back in a new way. So I don't really know ultimately if this is the right strategy. They're trying some new things to reinvigorate the brand and set themselves apart. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what shakes down.
Yeah, I'm a little more bullish, it sounds like, than you are. There's definitely been a narrative that we've been talking about here at the Watson Weekly about brands becoming media companies. And it seems like Gap took that strategy and turned it up to 11 because now we are hiring someone. Exactly. Spinal Tap style. We are hiring a big wig entertainment exec from Paramount Studios, Pam Kaufman. I think it's actually kind of a genius idea. I think you will see other brands follow suit because ultimately these ads worked. And I think they need to do more of them. And I think they need to do them in smaller formats. I think you're going to see them working with more micro influencers. Whether or not the Paramount exec is the right one, I think it's the right approach. And I think it will set a trend for the future.
Well, we'll just see if they'll sell more t-shirts and khakis. Remains to be seen.
Yes. Our next story is actually about the $63 billion ghost in the machine. And if you're a marketer and business owner and ever wondering, like, are everyone that Google says is clicking on my ads actually clicking on my ads? The answer is no.
Nah, son. No, that is not true. Imagine basically, you know, 10% of your money and throwing it into a paper shredder. That's essentially what we're talking about here. There's this term called IVT, invalid traffic. You know, we love our acronyms in retail. So let's throw another one in the mix. And it's essentially, yes, clicks are not, and views are not coming from real humans with intent to buy. There's, you know, bots, there's duplicate clicks, coordinated fake engagement, which feels like the worst of its kind, but we know there's lots of people that go and attack something intentionally. It leads down to like about 8.5% of all paid ad traffic is invalid. And that adds up to a lot of coin.
Yeah. And this is based on a massive new report from MediaPost and Luneo, and it's happening on a global scale. And this is just the number $63 billion from last year alone. And so, as you mentioned, 8.5% of all paid traffic is invalid. That means, do you stand outside of Google in a line with like your wallet out? It's like, give me my money back.
I don't think so. And actually, they're, you know, they love giving money back. There's lots of credit flowing. And actually, they're not even the worst offender. Like TikTok
really
was one of the worst for fraud with an invalid traffic rate, the IVT percentage of 24.2%. That's almost a quarter of your budget just gone. And LinkedIn, what? Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, I can't keep up, coming in roughly 20% and 13% respectively. Surprisingly, Meta's the lowest, which feels a little un-Meta-ish.
Yes, I think Zuck maybe has gotten religion. he was under pressure from Trump until he went into like his own MMA mode. So
that's right.
Maybe he cleaned up his act. And they invested a lot in
Congress had to pay off at some point, right?
Yeah, they invested a lot in bot detecting technology. And that's frankly something that Elon, if you remember when he came into X, that was like his number one thing when into X is like all these bots on X. We'll see how that has gone, about as well as all that government waste, corruption cuts.
Look, he got busy dozing and he can't tackle bots at the same time. It's like, that's called prioritization, Rick. He's just.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crossing the streams, Jess.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then the industries, I think the other part that was interesting about this story is the industries that are like got hit the hardest. Gaming was the highest fraud rates at 18%. And while retail was lower, which was around 6%, basically, because you think about the razor thin margins that they're operating on, it's essentially like wiping out entire profit of some transactions. So where do you feel like this goes, Rick, in terms of what happens next? All right, we got the report. Separately, there was also this news about Honey's fraud and affiliate networks basically exiting Honey stage right. Yeah. Like, where does this land? Are we getting class action lawsuits, or people are going to try to recruit stuff, or we're just like taking it, I guess.
Yeah. Here's what happens. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, one can dream.
And we wouldn't be here without our great sponsors. Thank you, Miracle, for being a big part of our show. We just saw them recently. They were a big sponsor of our Watson Weekend event in New York City on January 11th. You don't actually need another tool. You need a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail for retailers and brands who are ready to move, powered by AI and built for what's next. We're excited to have Miracle as a sponsor. We've had a number of their customers on our podcast here, from Ulta to Lowe's and others, Acadis. They've been a great partner. Thank you again, Miracle.
Thanks, Miracle. All right. Well, I think you were going to break down a surprising announcement, maybe not surprising, not surprise, on OpenAI. Can you break down what's been happening here?
And so OpenAI has announced, you know, of course, Sam Altman, he breaks all his news on X, where OpenAI is testing ads. And he said that ads weren't in the plan, but on the middle of January, our narrative is now shifted. And so they're going to be testing ads in the US for free plans. They're going to call something, as well as a plan they call ChatGPT Go, which is $8, and then a free ChatGPT free brand. This is not just about money. Come on.
Don't
be so crass. This is not about money. This is about intelligence.
They don't need the money.
They don't need the money. Sam's doing this for altruism. Cue his testimony at Congress, which is some of the most ridiculous things you ever said. I'm having fun doing this. This is about intelligence at scale, Jess. And we are looking potentially, if OpenAI achieves everything that it wants, an ad giant on the scale of Meta and Google. So that's kind of the thing. They really frame it as an accessibility move. How do we bring AGI to everyone? Apparently, AGI comes packaged in an IAB certified ad unit.
Yes, it does. And I love this because essentially, really what he's doing, Rick, is he's like, I think the world could be better from an ad experience. And I'm going to take that challenge and I'm going to run with it. And the format's basically, shocker, sponsored products, which you see again everywhere at the bottom of answers. So you know how much I love to cook. I'm so good at it. I think I'm the only person that like ruined a crock pot recipe. because of ChatGPT. I blame ChatGPT. But, you know, if you ask for that recipe, you're going to see this ad for a specific brand of olive oil. I'm a sucker that will probably buy it because I don't know any better. Below the response, and then here we go. So what's the like time frame? Remind everybody.
Yeah, the time frame is that they're starting the test now. They're saying that ads, we promise, guys, pinky swear, that ads will not influence the actual AI response, and they're not going to sell conversion data to advertisers. No, they won't do that.
I don't think so. Until those pocketbooks come opening up and they're like, but here's these checks I want to write you. And then Sam's like, oh, I don't need the money, but I'd love to take the money because then I can use it for good.
Yeah. And the format ads are actually will appear as sponsored products on the bottom of answers, which how long do you want to say before that moves to the top of answers?
How about I get a top and a bottom?
Right.
And exactly. Maybe a middle in between. I think this is the first foray of the test. And pretty much it's going to prove that like people click on ads and they make more money. And then they're going to find more places for more ad units. And then it's going to be like MySpace.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is all being made possible by essentially the CEO of applications at OpenAI, Fiji Simo, who is a former Facebook exec. She basically was one of the leaders behind Facebook's mobile ad engine. She became a big move, CEO of Instacart, which has done well under her leadership. She announced in a big move last year that she was moving to head up all of sort of like the business unit of OpenAI. She's almost like the Sheryl Sandberg, you know, who used to be for Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Altman. He needs some like veteran female leadership, I think, is the story that seems to be happening here. But she's been involved in ad engines, of course. Instacart is basically a retailer with a big ad business on top of it. And so the week after, Sam Altman said, we are never going to do ads. That's just not the kind of company we are. He hires Fiji Simo, which immediately told the entire universe, for the record, that we are absolutely going to do ads. It's just more of a question of when, not if.
That's right. Someone has to organize the man children that are running around OpenAI. And that is Fiji Simo. And also, you know, you don't hire someone to come in who cares so much about revenue and has done so much from a revenue perspective, building up Instacart in the way she did, and you don't have some kind of plan. So it's pretty interesting the way it all shook out. I do believe we're going to see this scale very quickly. And, you know, the ultimate people who will pay will be agencies, because agencies are going to be like, hi, I've got a new strategy. So it'll be interesting to watch them reinvent themselves as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you look at where ChatGPT sits in sort of a market position, it sits in a similar place to Google, but obviously LLMs are more interactive. People spend more time there. So it's a very high intent category. So unlike Facebook or TikTok, where you're just sort of like doom scrolling aimlessly, people are asking for specific help, planning trips, planning birthday parties. You know, all these things. I'm sure that's used for bad things too, but let's not talk about those. But this potentially makes their ad space more valuable than really almost any other platform except Google Search, and perhaps even more valuable than Google Search.
Right. So the other player that we haven't talked about, we talked about earlier, Amazon's still holding out, right? Doesn't allow LLMs to scrape its site. They are, you know, investing more in AI. I'm guessing this doesn't change anything. Just curious your take on it, Rick.
Yeah, I don't think OpenAI and Amazon is announcing anything here. I do think there's a partnership that's in the works. The first thing that Amazon ever does when they want to partner with someone is they block whoever that partner is so that they can then take time to negotiate terms. It's almost like a tariff. You know, like blocking someone on the internet, it's almost like a tariff. So that's kind of the situation. And then once you get your terms, you all tariffs suddenly go away. It's crazy how that works out. So I think, that's besties once more. Definitely OpenAI loves to be paid money by ad networks that have inventory to get reach. And Amazon has some of the best monetized ad networks inventory in the world. And so I definitely think that is in the offing. in terms of what's happening there.
Great. Well, again, another one to watch. It'll be interesting to see the downstream impacts, the way the industry responds, and everyone gear up your LinkedIn DMs as a retailer about to go on fire, because everyone will be an expert on this new ad format very soon.
Yeah, exactly. And the punchline here is that OpenAI is scheduled or projected to burn about $8 to $12 billion this in 2025, and probably much more in 2026, over $70 billion. Ads aren't going to put a dent in that anytime soon. They need a lot more distribution. We talked at our Watson Weekend Live at NRF about the fact that predict that Google Gemini will continue gaining against OpenAI. They already have 3/4 of all mobile phones in the United States, 92% of, or worldwide, 92% of all searches worldwide. So the distribution OpenAI does not have if they want to make a great ad product.
Right. Yeah, they've got some work to do in continuing to be top of mind in the consideration set. So next order of business.
If you like this new format, definitely give us a like and subscribe. We appreciate having you as part of our network. And if you missed guest interviews, just a reminder, guest interviews will be moving to Wednesdays. We will actually will have consistent guest interviews with industry luminaries where you can help learn more. Friday is going to be the place for your, this is hard news, Jess.
That's right. This is the hard-hitting type of journalism you won't find anywhere else, because we're not journalists.
That's right. We're not professionals, just in case you weren't clear. So exactly. Anyway, my name is Rick Watson.
Hey, it's Jessica Liseski. Give us a follow. Give us a like. You can find us everywhere you get your content. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. What else am I missing? Even the random ones, right?
Yeah, even the low rent channels.
We're on the fringe. We're on the fringe. We don't discriminate.
I think we're on the dark web.
We might buy 5 grand.
Exactly. All righty.
All right. Thank you.
See you next week.
Have a good one.